You're listening to KBOO's News in Depth. You'd figure that bringing together books and beer would be a slam dunk, especially in Portland, but we didn't get our first official bookstore slash bar until November of last year. The Rose City Book Pub, located on Northeast Fremont, is a godsend for those of us who love to read and drink, often at the same time, and enjoy doing it in the company of like-minded folks. In addition to a collection of used books and a tap list heavy on Northwest beers, Rose City Book Pub serves food, wine, and cocktails, and hosts regular events such as readings, live music, book clubs, fundraisers, and study groups. To find out more, we're fortunate to have Elise Schumach, the owner of Rose City Book Pub, live with us now in the newsroom. Elise, thanks so much for coming into KBOO today.
Thanks for having me.
Elise, first I should tell listeners that you're no stranger to KBOO. In fact, your dad, Jim Schumach, was a longtime KBOO on-air personality, hosting our Between the Covers show, a weekly program featuring interviews with authors. That must have been an influence on you growing up, right? As a budding reader yourself.
Yeah. We were a family of readers. And then my dad did the recordings at our house.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm not in the studio here.
Huh? Yeah, and then...
The writers then came to your house, and he recorded them there.
Oh. And there are quite a few authors who will tell you about this funky experience of going into the basement studio past the washer and dryer. And
Of course, that looks a lot like KBOO, except for the washer and dryer. So let's get to your own creation here, the Rose City Book Pub. And I'll start with a Yelp review. Quote, "This place is pretty awesome. Do you ever have a book and want to read? Do you ever want to read with beer and or wine, maybe a cocktail? Not a bar, not some scene place, but some place where you can actually read. I've long wanted one, and this is it." Was that something that you were looking for too, and which inspired you to open up a book pub?
Yeah, I've always read at bars. I read anywhere, and I'm sort of a late night person, and I like to read surrounded by other people, and then I also don't mind being interrupted and then joining a conversation and kind of having the night flow from some time to yourself to time with the community.
And that was actually one of the events leading up to the book pub. You were reading, was it the Harper's Magazine?
Yeah, at a total divey sports bar. Where that's not done there.
And what's the story?
So my friend, the person I ended up being friends with came up to me and he's like, "Are you reading Harper's?"
in a total divey bar.
And then it ended up being his idea actually to open the book pub. But he didn't have the means to make that happen. And I was looking for an escape to get back to Portland from a long exile in Los Angeles.
Teaching Latin there, huh?
Yeah. And then he ended up working for me for a few months, but we've sent him off for a better job at Metro.
So he's in Portland now.
Yeah.
But he probably gets free beer, I would hope, when he shows up, coming up with the idea. Now, you've described the pub as putting all the things I like together in one room, which is wine and beer and books and people. So how'd you go from that blueprint to making the pub a reality?
I set the plan out a few years in advance. I needed to disentangle graciously from some obligations in Los Angeles. So in 2015, I said I would end my time there at the end of 2018 school year. And then I moved back home. I got a great broker who started poking around and gave him my list of wants and needs. And then something emerged pretty close to where I grew up.
Just amazing. You really scored because I read some initial interviews before the pub opened, and you were searching for places way out, 72nd, 82nd Avenue. Here you got something on 13th and Northeast Fremont.
Right. My hope was to be somewhat central because I knew that wherever I was, there would be a locals draw, but that what I was offering is something that should have a citywide draw. And so I didn't want to be too far out to the edges.
We should tell people that what you eventually did find was an Irish pub that had been there for a while and then was in the process of closing down.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do to turn that into the book pub? You left some things the same and then added bookshelves, things like that?
Yeah, I left quite a bit. They had these wonderful pews from when it was a storefront church 20 years ago. And so they had those and the wood and kind of mismatched antique-y kind of look goes well for me. And then I added...
Oh, so it went from a church to an Irish pub to a book pub.
Yep. Wow. And so then I... Yeah, so I added bookcases and I added some soft furniture. And then I took the darts away and made that into a reading cubby. Yeah.
You don't want to give a reader darts. Dangerous.
Book darts.
Now, you were able to get most of the needed funding through online crowdsourcing. I saw you had an Indiegogo campaign.
Yeah.
You raised close to $11,000 to help open up the pub.
That was, and actually, that's, well, that was not the majority of the funding. That's a pretty small part. But a lot of why I did that was for advanced publicity, to let people know that this was coming. But I did make about $11,000 from that, and then I got an SBA loan, and then I sold my condo.
Because it costs more than $11,000 to keep things going. Now, for the bookstore part of Rose City Book Pub, you stock what's described on the website as a curated collection of good books, mostly used, I think, right?
Used, except for authors who've read there recently or who are about to read there, local authors, local presses.
You'll have new books there for people to buy and get signed.
But that's a really small part of our collection, and then it is mostly used books.
Now, what do you look for in deciding which titles to offer? Where's the curation come in?
I think, so my focus is literary fiction and then popular nonfiction, and I do like nice volumes, where it's a nice artifact as well. But then we also have quite a few of pretty banged up old paperbacks. And I am a little bit snobby when it comes to fiction. I'm not as snobby when it comes to nonfiction. So I don't carry much in the way of romance and mystery and things like that.
Could you name a few of your favorite literary fiction writers?
Let's see. I always like Willa Cather.
Ah.
And then I have really enjoyed Knausgård lately.
Mm-hmm. Ah. And he just published volume 6 of his My Struggle.
And let's see. I go back a lot to Jane Austen always.
Now, what about books from your dad's collection? You've got some of those there, too. And some of those are actually signed by the authors who came to your house and passed by the washing machine and the dryer.
Yeah. We've pulled out the ones that say Dear Jim, but the ones that are just a signature are all available for sale. The ones that are higher value aren't at the store, and I'm going to put them up online sometime.
Like an eBay type thing.
Yeah.
Because the volumes are worth a little bit more.
Right.
Signed by that author, and some of them might not be around anymore, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, perhaps just as important as the books is the beer.
Yeah.
Is it a rotating tap list, and what's the curation process like for the drinks?
Yeah, we have, I have 18 taps, and 2 of those are nitro, and we... the only one that stays on is Olympia. And then other than that, it's mostly Northwest beers. Every once in a while, there will be something really special like Sculpin.
San Diego.
Point. Yeah. And then we do a lot with Matchless and North Jetty and Second Profession.
So there's really, for a beer aficionado, this is the place to go. They're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah. And
there's plenty of choices.
Yeah. And we try and keep, there's always a few IPAs, and these days one of those will be a Brut or a Hazy, and then there should be a Red and a Pilsner, and in the summertime you want a few more of the light ones, like a Kolsch. Right now I know we have a Saison, and I have a really sour from Culmination.
that's trendy.
Yeah.
The sour beers.
Oh, the sours are great. And then I always have a few ciders, and I try and keep those on gluten-free lines, and I have Hum Kombucha.
Ah, so it's a authentic Portland tap place, with the kombucha and the cider and the beers.
Yeah.
Now, one question that came up for me, because I do work sometimes in coffee shops, is how do you balance a reader's desire for a comfortable, somewhat quiet place to read with those who might be there for drinks and conversation?
Yeah, we have, there are sort of different zones in the pub, plus the patio. So if no one else is out on the patio, then that's the quiet place. And if everyone's on the patio, then it's the noisy place. And I have a few little cubbies. And then obviously, if you're sitting at the bar itself, then you're signaling that you want it to be social. And then if it is noisy and someone is trying to read or do something very quiet, we have earplugs available for free at the bar.
Wow. And you don't play loud music then? It would
Right. We play some music, but it's not loud. And it's in the kitchen.
Now, a time when if you just want to read and have quiet, you probably wouldn't want to be there during one of the evening events, and you have quite a few of those. Can you talk about, we mentioned, or you were talking to me before the interview about some of the readings that you have there, and you actually have a reading there tonight, and you have live music, and you have trivia night, study groups. Can you talk about some of those?
So if someone wanted a particularly quiet space, a lot of times 7:30 to 9 is not your best bet, because we often have events then. And so this week is Tell Me a Story, which is a story series curated by Jessica Wadley. Tomorrow is jazz.
And that's about four or five writers come in to do readings. And that's at 7:30 tonight, by the way.
And then tomorrow from 7 to 10, we have the Jazz Open Jam. And that is hosted by Pablo Rivarola.
How does that work? Musicians just bring their instruments and they jam together?
Yeah. And so there's sort of a house band, and they start. And then I think that they just sort of, if you want to play, you just come up and let them know that you want to play. And then they find out if there's something you all know in common. And then I think some people bring their own instruments if it's smaller, but then I think the house band drummer shares his drums, and, you know, because that's too chaotic to
Right.
and it's fantastic. It's mostly younger people, but we have had a few of the old guard come in and jam with the young folks. And these young people are incredibly talented.
Oh, we're blessed in Portland to have so many talented musicians. This is nice to have a venue for them.
Yeah. And then on Wednesday night at 7:30, we have trivia, and I'm the host for that.
And that's literary trivia mostly, right?
Well, no, it's five rounds of 10 questions each, and one round's always literary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then if any minors come to play, then I make a point of ending by 9 o'clock. Because we do have sometimes families come, or young folks who have a friend who's 20. Something like that.
And at other times of the day, you actually have, after school, because it's called the after school homework groups, right?
Yeah.
So kids will come and study together, which I see a lot in coffee shops. So it's really good to have something like that for them there.
Yeah. And then honestly, we have quite a few people, who older students, who come in at around midnight. I have one guy who's an anesthesiology resident.
Ah, and he studies?
And he comes in the middle of the night because he has crazy hours. And then this last week, we've had a woman studying for the bar, which is tomorrow. And so she's come at some strange hours. And so and we had a guest finish the last week and a half of his dissertation. He worked on it at our place, and he came at some strange hours.
Now, you seem to be really enjoying meeting some of the people who come there.
Oh, I love that so much.
A very nice part of owning the book pub.
And the kind of people who want to be at my place are really, really lovely people. It's it really feels like a deep part of the community.
Which it leads to my next question. You have several programs there where you give back to the community. There's one in particular, Buy a Meal, Give a Meal. There's another one where you have a textbook fund. You donate 50 cents to a textbook scholarship. Can you talk about a few of those and why you do those?
Yeah, so I've always believed in being part of the community, and some of that is service. And
this is the community you grew up in, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And I grew up really close to there, closer to Hollywood. And so the Buy a Meal, Give a Meal is the grilled cheese with super salad. And anytime someone buys that, we donate the cost of a meal to the Oregon Food Bank, which is only 33 cents. But it does add up. And we've donated, I think, 3,200 meals since we opened in November.
Oh, my.
And then the other one is a textbook scholarship for a graduating senior from Grant High School, which is my alma mater. And we were able to raise enough for one $500 scholarship this last year. Just last week I gave it to a young woman named Julie. And then I'm hoping, since I'll have closer to a full year to do it, I'm hoping to have two scholarships next year.
You've really progressed quickly, considering you've only been open for about 9 months now.
Yeah.
And the book clubs become a very integral part of the community, especially the literary community here in Portland.
Yeah, I think there was a shortage of places for what I'm offering for the literary community. I think it's...
Well, there's no other book pub in the city.
Right.
And there's very few in the country, apparently, right?
And it's hard to find the right venue for a reading. A lot of the bookstores here are pretty tiny and cozy, and then Powell's is big enough that you have to be pretty big to make it on their list. And so it, and then other bars are obviously not hosting a lot of book reading.
Yes, it wouldn't be a very friendly atmosphere for the writer, yeah. I don't think.
Right.
Now, do you have any future plans, Elise, that you can share with us for the book pub? Pretty much things are going really well and just continue with those for a while?
Yeah, I think I like what I'm doing. I'm hoping to expand more of the late night crowd and I'd love to see more people there at lunchtime. But it's, I think it's become the thing I wanted it to be.
Now, can you tell our listeners how to find out more about the Rose City Book Pub, hours, menu, special events?
Yeah, the website's rosecitybookpub.com. The Instagram is Rose City Book Pub with underscores between the words, and Facebook, we're rosecitybookpub.com or Rose City Book Pub. And the hours are 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. every day.
Yes, so there's plenty of time for everybody to get in there sometime.
Yeah.
Well, Elise, thanks so much for joining us at KBOO this afternoon.
Thank you, Ken.
We've been talking with Elise Schumach, owner and operator of Portland's Rose City Book Pub. The book pub is located at 1329 Northeast Fremont, and as Elise said, it's open every day from 11 a.m. to 2 in the morning. You can meet the anesthesiologist and the budding lawyer there at those hours, I think. And you can find out more on their website, rosecitybookpub.com, and on Facebook under Rose City Book Pub. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.